So for a little bit of context for the viewers, we just tried taking a take, but Alex almost died. Almost died during a take.
Live on mic.
Live on mic, yeah.
Okay.
Caught in 38 hertz. Amazing. You feeling better now?
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's going to be a journey, I think. We're both quite run down this week, but we've both come down with something.
Yeah.
I lost my voice. So that's, you know, for a podcast, that's not the best thing to happen to you.
It's not ideal.
To say the least. No, it isn't ideal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we move. We're still alive. Just
about.
We're going to be, you know, still talking about films. But other than that, you doing all right?
I'm fine, apart from that, yeah.
Working hard? Or hardly working?
Hardly working, I think.
That's all right. That's fine.
Right.
But yeah.
Let's just jump into it, because I don't know how long I've got left.
All right, but so before Alex like bites the dust, we'll jump into it and see where we go.
Okay.
Cool.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fine Draft Podcast. We watched a movie. What did we watch? We watched Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad. Yeah, don't get it mixed up.
No.
That'd be a crime.
Directed by James Gunn. Starring a lot of people.
Excellent.
And that's it.
That's it. So it's obviously the remake of the original 2016 Suicide Squad, which was not well received.
It's not a remake, is it?
Well,
people
a lot
keep
of people
like floating.
It's going to be a remake.
Well, people keep floating around.
It's not
that
really,
it's a remake.
Is it?
It's not. It's a.
No.
I guess you could call it a soft reboot. But not like,
I think that's the best way of describing it. Yeah. It continues some of the same characters in the same roles, although there's no direct quote of existence between the last film and this one, other than Harley Quinn and Boomerang knowing each other, which also doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean that doesn't make sense?
Oh, isn't he the one who dies in the first?
No.
You know? Oh.
No.
Oh, well, that's my bad then. I thought he was the one that got, like, just popped at the beginning.
No, that was just some dude. I don't blame you for not really remembering 2016 Suicide Squad. Should we start with our thoughts on that?
I think so, yeah. I know a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of huff-huff at the minute, especially from kind of the people who are involved with that film. You know, not to compare the two, but it is kind of, well, it is. It's the same film, just in a different way, you know. So it's kind of hard not to compare them. I think it's a fair thing to do. But I remember we did see it together, didn't we, back in 2016?
Yeah, yeah, I do remember that.
There's quite a few of us who went to go see it. And,
I remember that being one of the first kind of like movie going experiences as a young person, where we all were just kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, that hurt.
Yeah.
It was that and Batman v Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Those two movies were, well, they were so kind of overhyped, I guess you could say. You know, we were certainly all hyped for them. I remember specifically going to Bristol with Alex as a young boy. I remember we went into this like shop and there was like a poster for the Suicide Squad.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, the trailers are so amazing. It's going to be the best film ever. I'm going to buy the poster. And Alex said, don't do that because, you know, it might be bad. And I went, I think I specifically said, there's no way that movie's going to be bad.
Yep.
And I took the L on that one because it was not great. It was a huge disappointment. Because it just sucked. It's just as a movie, as you know, movie narratives go, and the telling of story, it just was not good.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate over like why it came out the way it did, David Ayer right now is saying that the studio really like fucked it over, and it's clearly a film that's been, you know, fucked in the editing room. But I think based
and you
on
you could feel
the,
that watching it.
Yeah. But I think based on like the pieces that are there anyway, I don't think there would have been much about it, you know, that would have worked really. I don't know.
No.
There's
the
a great
that you, the, go on.
There's a great on Red Letter Media, they were talking about how like if you watch each trailer, the logo gets progressively more and more like Technicolor and like over the top and garish, because I guess they just kept pumping in all that shit into it.
Well, ironically, they used kind of the success of Guardians of the Galaxy to kind of direct how they advertised the original. Because they saw those kind of films come out and be like, oh, everyone's loving silly, goofy movies at the minute.
Conceptually, they're very the same.
Guardians of the Galaxy was done by James Gunn, and now he's doing the next one.
Yeah, conceptually, they're very similar. Like, ragtag crew of unlikable comic book characters working as a team is very, you know, there's a lot of similarities there. And you could say, oh, they were trying to do a Guardians thing with that, with the music and...
Yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the needle drops and stuff like that that just didn't fit.
Yeah,
and
but it makes sense.
They put a lot of money into the soundtrack for it. They got a lot of artists to make unique songs for the film, and yeah, they really lost out on this one, didn't they? And I think, you know, most specifically about Suicide Squad, the first trailer that came out. Which is the Comic-Con teaser, I believe, which was very dark and gritty. I still feel I haven't seen that film yet.
Yeah,
I remember being very hyped for that film. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's a great trailer. Yeah, I mean that era, they did great trailers, like you said about Batman vs Superman.
Yeah.
That's a great trailer too. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone's waiting to see the movies still. Yeah.
And it's quite shocking how a studio that's so good in advertising and muddles itself in direction so much, and how much influence producers and that must have on, you know, that material.
Well, I think it actually makes perfect sense, because you know, they just want to sell you a product. And I think the story on the first one is that they got the guys who like edited the trailer to edit the film.
What?
It was something like that. They got like some kind of trailer editing company to like do the final cut of
edit
the film.
Ooh.
So that's why it's.
I remember
like,
that
there's so many like little graphics and all this kind of shit. Like,
oh, it sucks. Yeah. I love how their choice to establish characters by doing a little overlay, like. That was a very interesting move.
Remember when they like introduced the squad two times in the film?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'd be like in a scene, and then all of a sudden it'd be like ping, pang, pow.
Yeah.
Up comes the
logo
graphic.
Comes
and,
up.
It's like, and there's no chance you could read all of like the text. You'll have to choose one line to read and laugh at. And then it goes back to a really dark and dingy cinematography kind of scene. And it's like, this feels so disjointed. You feel like you're in like the head of like what Harley Quinn sees in this film. But they obviously they do that in the new Suicide Squad, but it's like, it's just so fucking wild and unjustified. There's a lot of things that just thematically and also visually don't work. None of them aid the story. They kind of harm it. And I do believe that there is a version. Obviously, there's a huge thing at the moment going around where it's like the Ayer cut.
Right.
And at first glance, you know, for me, that's like, oh, you know, they've done this with the Snyder cut, and the Snyder cut wasn't actually that much better. Well, we've already had that argument. but my reservations were quite clear about that. You know, I was like, well, I don't think there is actually, you know, how much can they change with this movie to make it decent? But I do believe that they're, if you know, if they were to fix the tone so it's consistent, because it seems like from the first trailer, in my examination of it, it felt that they were really trying to go for something different, and go like do a dark film, and make it like quite a strong drama piece, a bit like Joker, I suppose, tonally. From the first trailer at least, and I felt that that's at least, you know, these things are very specifically crafted, you know, to try and push the feeling of the film. And then as you see the progression of the trailers, they also, you know, they get wackier and wackier, and it feels that they're trying to make it something it isn't. So I am interested by the concept that a version of this might exist, that feels tonally consistent. I don't know how much that will affect the actual overall, you know, opinion of the film, but I think it would help. You know, I felt that this, it just had a, the final piece had like an overlay on it that tied the film together really poorly.
Oh, yes, but I feel like if you just strip that overlay off, you still got a bad,
you still
movie,
got a patchy product, you know. Yeah, it's still not going to be like a great film, don't get me wrong, but because there's obviously more than just visual tone that was wrong with it.
I think it's the real problem is just like it's a pretty bland narrative with pretty uninteresting characters for the most part, apart from like a couple notable ones. I guess it was the one that gave us Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, which I do agree is like, you know, she really owns it. But that's really it. I mean, it's the movie that gave us Jared Leto Joker.
It is. Yeah, you're completely right.
I don't think you can edit around Jared Leto Joker, to be honest. I think that's a bit of an issue.
But, you know, I think visual tone and like setting and music and all that kind of stuff is very important to make it feel consistent.
Right.
But then it is the whole, well, once you strip that away, it's consistently shit as opposed to consistently good. So, you know, obviously passing over into now, you know, they announce that James Gunn's going to do some version of the Suicide Squad with like a huge ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
The first teaser dropped, which announced all the cast and the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what were your thoughts originally when that arrived? Can you remember how you felt about going into this film?
I just thought it looked fun. I think James Gunn is just the right pick for this kind of thing. Like, if you're gonna do Guardians ripoff, you might as well get the guy who did Guardians of the Galaxy.
Very true.
And you know, and he does have more of a kind of edgier sensibility, so giving him an R-rated version of a film to work with is, you know, clearly that's going to work well for him. And it just seemed to have more of a interesting kind of aesthetic. They were pitching it as like a war movie, and I thought that was a really interesting direction. And I liked, and you know, and that it was going to be more kind of, it wasn't going to be taking itself so seriously. It was going to be a little tongue-in-cheek. You're going to have characters like Polka Dot Man in it. Like, we're going to go more kind of goofy with it.
Going to go there.
And I felt like that's a better way to go with it, considering how the first one that was trying to be kind of a bit more edgy and cool, like cool edgy. And it fucking bombed fantastically, so... Yeah, I don't know. I was interested going into this.
I can agree. I liked the fact that they were using characters that weren't pre-established. To an extent, obviously, because you have Harley Quinn and some of the other variations of people within the original. But, you know, think people like Ratcatcher, fucking Polka Dot Man, King Shark... I have no comic knowledge anyway, so it was all completely new to me. And it was just a blank canvas. I had no preconception of what kind of like even like attitude they have. And I think that's where the original one kind of struggled, was because you have, obviously, you spliced in pre-established characters like Batman and the Joker. And that's very, very difficult because you always have the comparisons that are going on whilst you're watching a new piece of media. You know, you're comparing that version of the character within that film to the one that you already know. So I think that this film did have that going for it. You know, I have, you know, is Polka Dot Man like this genius, or is he like an idiot, or, you know, I just throw me into whatever you feel was right for the film,
right,
and we'll go from there. And I think it did it very well.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts? What are your initial thoughts?
I had so much fun with this movie. I think that it's a great example of just allowing a director to just have fun. Obviously, that's not always good. You know, when you give think of like the Star Wars prequels, when you give a director full kind of like control over something. Right. But when it feels right for that director, and, you know, it's like a passion project, it's, you know, sometimes beautiful things can happen. I don't think this film was like a masterpiece by any means. You know, there are things that I'd certainly change about it. But overall, it was tonally consistent. You know, I was never second guessing, like, does this really fit here? There were parts that I think weren't amazing in that regard. And that's very unspecific, and I'll get into that. But, like, it was just genuinely fun. Like, it was such a fun ride. It was a film that wasn't afraid to just do whatever it wanted. It was visually very impressive. And it was that concrete separation from the last one that I was looking for. You know, I was cautious about how different it would actually be, and okay, well, you've actually got more characters in this one, obviously to give you some room to kill people off and whatever,
right?
Because that's the nature of this film. You understand that going in.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say this straight off the bat. I think that you know, this film doesn't waste time, and I can't tell if that's because it was done well or because the audience kind of already know what the deal is because of the last one.
I think it's probably, I think it's a little bit of that. They definitely get into it pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I've watched this twice now, and that was what I caught up on my second watch, was like, how much of this intro works because we already know what to expect. So I think that they had an easier job to establish what the Suicide Squad was. But in the same time, they didn't waste any time. They introduced the characters through one perspective, which I thought was very clever. So instead of being like a kind of third person, and, you know, them showing you individually who they all are with these stupid graphics, whatever, you see everyone through one person. And obviously that switches from, I can't remember the original guy. It was played by, Rooker. What was his name? That's the also thing. I can catch up, you know, keep up with all the fucking names of this film, of all the characters.
I don't really know what you're talking about.
you know, like the first guy that we get introduced to in the prison.
Yeah, what, Savant?
Savant, right.
Well, none of that matters, right? Because that whole opening is just a gag, right? With the whole setting up the squad. And then they all just kind of die immediately.
Yeah, I mean, that the fact that they did that anyway was great because it established that no one's kind of safe.
I kind of don't agree.
That's fair. I think it was kind of like the perfect way to start it off. But
I know, but there was something so predictable about it. When they said like that it was going to be a massive ensemble, my first immediate thought was, okay, well,
how are you going to build character within that?
Yeah, there's no way you're going to do all of these guys. This is definitely cannon fodder. And when you look at the lineup, you can just kind of tell which ones are the cannon fodder. And when it was introduced, when it opens with their team, and it's not, you know, Idris Elba isn't in there, John Cena isn't in there, the big CGI shark man isn't in there, I'm like, I think these guys probably aren't getting out immediately. And don't get me wrong, like, as like a comedic bit, I think it lands, I think it's very funny.
Yeah.
love seeing Pete Davidson getting his face blown off. Hilarious. Good job.
Well done.
But I don't know, I was kind of a little let down by it because I just felt like it was like, oh well, yeah, like of course this is it. And I kind of didn't like that it was That's so early into the film either. I kind of maybe wish that we got to spend a little bit of time with those characters and then they all got wiped out.
It did feel kind of a bit achy because I was like, I did actually like some of them and you've just fucking killed them off straight away.
We could have followed that team and that could have been the film. And like, I get it. I get what you're trying to do. It didn't really, because it was just so predictable. It didn't really leave much impression with me. I know it's meant to be a full start, but that's how it felt. It just kind of felt like a full start. And it's like, okay, now we're doing a film and now we're really in it.
I do agree on that respect. It was kind of, it did feel like I could predict it. It was shocking because I didn't think that, like, some of the stars in it, I thought it was enough for them to kind of last a little longer. I was also kind of a little bit knocked off by it because obviously Harley was there and what's his name was there. And I thought, you know, I've seen them in the film, like, what happens here? But because it happens so quickly, I think on my first watch, I was enjoying myself so much, I kind of forgot about that.
I mean, yeah, there's plenty of like...
I just took it for what it is.
There's plenty of good humour in that whole sequence too. Like the whole thing, like...
The flow's really good.
Yeah. Like little jokes about like, did anyone check if the thing could swim? Like that's a good... That's a good bit.
But also, it's like, because of the last film, because I had that comparison... I was very aware of the fact that I did not want to drag on the opening of this. You know, I wanted it to get stuck in as soon as possible. So for it to just kind of do that at the beginning, I was like, and then it went into the title sequence and it was all kind of like, you know, good needle drop and it's like, you know, it's exciting. I was like, okay, I'm with this. It's pissed me off a bit, but I'm with this because they're going, look, do you know what? This is what it is. No one's safe. We're just gonna go fucking straight into it.
It's a good
sets the tone up for the rest of the film.
It's a good setting up. I just think like I wish I could not have seen it a mile away, you know.
That's a really real complaint.
But yeah, so then we get introduced to the actual
What do you think of
the actual squad? So we've got Idris Elba, who I think I've always loved Idris Elba. I think everyone loves him. But I think he is perfect for this type of thing. This kind of like, you're going to be a badass, but everything's a little silly. Like, I think he does really well in this zone for some reason. I think that's probably just because that's his kind of brand of like action lead anyway. It's like, you know, I am a cool motherfucker, but I know what I'm in and I know what this is, and I just think he does really well in that zone.
Yeah, definitely. I think he respects the direction that James is taking as well.
Yeah.
Understands the, you know, what, like you said, you know, yeah, completely what the character is and what the setting is and the other characters that are around him and how to kind of balance himself within that. And my headphones just turned off. Hang on a second. So I'm not going to be able to hear your response. There you go.
You're back.
Sorry if I talked over you there.
Sorry.
Didn't realise they were off.
His character's interesting because, so initially they wanted Will Smith back. I guess Will Smith just was like, yeah, no. So they were going to recast Will Smith with Idris Elba. And I guess either the studio didn't want that because maybe Will Smith will want to come back one day. and I think also just because, like, it's Idris Elba, he's a big enough actor. I think like he's worthy of his own character. So he's not Deadshot in this, he's Bloodsport. I was just finding it very funny how similar the characters are though. They basically just lift all the characterization from Deadshot in the first one and put it in this. Except he's British, I guess. The whole daughter arc and his powers it's like, okay, yeah, we're just gonna do it. And like, it came across a bit lazy to me because I don't think it's self-aware about it. I think it is just literally going, yep, here we are.
then again, though, I think it was... I originally thought that, and then I saw it on the second time, and I was like, you know where he gets introduced to John Cena's character, Peacemaker?
Right,
and
yeah.
And she says exactly the same thing, and he's like, are you kidding me? Like, that's exactly
sure,
what I do.
Sure, sure.
I think there is a bit of that within it. You know, like, there's only so many ways that you can do
right.
the tough guy.
Yeah, and especially with these characters where it's like, what exactly. are their powers? Well,
so
I'm
I think
really
they
good
were
at guns.
Somewhat aware.
Yeah, yeah.
But I agree with you. Like, there wasn't a huge separation between
no.
the two.
I just mean in terms of, like, the emotional, you know, beats yeah. and the backstories Daughter. And stuff. And we can talk about with some of the other characters too. Well, I guess follow up. I don't know the actress's name, but Ratcatcher 2. You know, I like her. I like the rats. Very cute. Obviously, James Gunn loves his little animal characters, and there's a lot of them in this.
I found out they actually had a rat on set in the little suit.
Yeah.
That was kind of like real, and I was like, oh. Yeah. It's a lot of little trivia bits I learned about this film. That was actually quite cool. But regardless, yeah, Ratcatcher.
Mm.
Yeah,
and I had a similar
woman.
Problem with her kind of backstory. We get these kind of... It's that scene where they're in the bus and they're kind of...
Yeah.
They're just like, let's talk about our backstories with each other.
Yeah. It felt so kind of like forced.
It felt very... I don't know. Just... I think it was
like, oh, we need to do this in the plot. How are we going to do... Oh, they're just talking on the bus.
It felt like... I think it will work for some people. For me, it's just like the whole flashbacks of like her of her dad. Taika Waititi as like a heroin addict.
Heroin addict is what the fuck's that about?
Yeah, I don't think that worked for anyone. worked for anyone at all. I don't know. Yeah, it felt a bit like contrived. It felt a little bit like literally just like let's tell each other our backstories now. Oh, you remind me of my daughter. Isn't that funny? Because I have a daughter and you have a daddy. And isn't that a coincidence? Now
You've
we're friends.
Yeah. I think my main comment about this film is that it sags quite a bit in the middle. Once you actually get to the build-up, so, you know, some of the build-up to the tower, and then when you're actually in the tower, I'm like, okay, this is... a lot. I'm having so much fun here, you know. But that kind of in between bit, you know, there are moments, but the weakest part is it feels like smack bang in the middle where they're on the bus and they go into the club and all this stuff. Like all that was just kind of like, you're starting to lose me a bit.
Feels like the obligatory. We're gonna have these characters be emotional and vulnerable thing, which like.
Yeah.
And this is kind of my wider kind of take on this film in general, is just that, like, I think it's extremely formulaic. And I think James Gunn is just really good at this particular formula, so people aren't really getting too put off by it. But for me, like, I just felt like there was so much stuff in this that it just felt so, like, yeah, this is what you would do. And, like, yeah, this is what you do. And it's all polished very nice, and he adds a lot of extra spice and flavour into it all. But I think the core of it is very simple, which can be good for this kind of stuff. But I think, like, I don't know, like, this is such a cool concept, right? The Suicide Squad is such a great concept for, like, a narrative.
Yeah.
I want to see, and, like, James Gunn is clearly a creative director who has, like, a very particular voice and care for his characters. I wanted to see more, you know, like left turns and stuff. You know, this, and the whole marketing for this was like from the beautiful twisted mind and James Gunn, and I found it wasn't, you know, we're talking about the R-rated, and like I didn't find it too shocking in that narrative sense, but also just in that R-rated sense either. And like there is gore kills
solely...
and stuff, and it can be brutal when, you know, comic book characters saying the F word. But like, I think my mileage is starting to run out with that stuff as like entertainment value. And we kind of spoke about this before with like, does giving something an R rating even necessarily make it like more compelling? Like, I don't think so. really.
Yep.
Because it's not like, you know, the kills in this aren't like shocking, you know, they aren't like brutal and horrible and like, oh my god, I can't believe the big shark man ate that guy. You know, it's more just kind of like, oh yeah, that's a thing, that's happening, yeah, you split him in half, cool. You know, like, yeah, I wanted a bit more of that kind of brutality and impact of it. It's a very soft film. Yeah. It's a very, like, to be honest, it's a very, like, soft, palatable movie. I think you could make this an easily into a PG-13 cut. Maybe took out some of
Oh, easy.
You know, some of the
obscenity. I think it is a PG film sprinkled with, like the visual kind of bloody violence.
You would have
to. There's a lot of action shots here. Like, I think of the King Shark when he rips him apart. You know, stuff like that, where it's like, oh, of course it's an R-rated. It's visually ugh.
You would have to change, like, a lot. Obviously, like there's some. You see some willies. You see some titties. You see, you know, people doing drugs. Like I get all those things also contribute to the rating. Also, it's like, it's weird because in the UK, an R rating is a 15. So yeah. It's automatically kind of like different anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We're used to 18s being, you know, like saw traps and, you know, really, really quite brutal storytelling, really harsh themes and stuff. Which just obviously wasn't present here.
There's some like
neither did it feel like it needed it.
Yeah,
but
there's some like implied kind of like, oh, isn't that fucked up? Like when we get to the lab, and they're like,
yeah,
they keep talking about like children. They're like, they're working on children. Isn't that awful?
Like, I can't fucking see any.
Yeah, you do not see one.
You don't see one child.
You don't see one.
Because I think that they have that weird limitation there where they're like, you know. Well, we can't actually show, because it's going to start being 18 if we show children like fucking cutting off and Squidward's on their face.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite strange. Because obviously it's a very bright and colourful film mixed in this pot of, oh, this is actually quite, what's going on here?
There's a bit of blood.
Some of my favourite scenes were, though, when it, you know, that was taken away, like the fight between Peacemaker and what's his name?
Oh, Rick Flag.
The fighting over the hard drive.
Yep.
And he stabs him in the heart and he kills him, and then he looks up and he sees Ratcatcher, and they share that glance of like, oh no. You know, that stuff was like, I loved that. I loved that exploration of
that was
the character,
good,
and
that was a good,
the action was fantastic.
Yeah, and that was a good turn as well, the Peacemaker thing. That was like a good, like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Nice.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And I think John Cena specifically as like a person and an actor had a lot to do with that. I think it was very clever. It was very good casting to, you know, you can imagine him being like that. They're just the safe guy, the guy who's like, oh, you can't do that. This is about peace.
Right.
But making him actually the guy who is, you know, he's somewhat of the villain. Very interesting.
He's so huge.
Mate, he is.
He's so fucking,
you know,
huge.
It's not like CG as well. He's like a muscle, a walking muscle.
It's almost, his arms are like grotesque. They are like, he's got like the little wiggly vein, you know?
Yeah.
His arms.
Well,
it
gets to that point, you know.
Arms are just made out like Play-Doh. This fucking tree trunk. The man is ridiculous. And he's so smooth, yeah, like he's smooth all over, like he's
he's just a specimen. He's like lab grown. But putting him in a comic, you know, comic book style red and yellow suit,
making him
with a fucking helmet.
I mean, John Cena is
that's
very
that's a great choice.
I think he's very funny. He's a very like funny comedic actor. People often forget. Kind of like a Channing Tatum-esque guy who can, like, where you look at him, you're like, oh, he's this big hunk. He's, you know, you'd think action lead, but actually he can just do like the comedy stuff really well. It's great casting.
And he could do the serious stuff really well. Like, I did feel very, very compelled when, you know, it came to that bit where he was just, when he just turned, it was believable. and you felt it, and it was like, oh, that's surprising. Hello, John Cena. I remember you being in the Fred movie. So it's, yeah, there were a lot of characters that surprised me. I was surprised that that Pete Capaldi's character didn't take more centre stage. I was always confused from the trailers, at least, how he'd play into the story. But once again, he plays a doctor, evil one this time. And he was just like fine, you know. He was a lot of fun, and he got to swear in Scottish, which is great, as always. But they found that kind of good balance between like a serious narrative, I guess you could say, but also the visual balance of like, oh, this is basically like a comic book coming alive.
Right. Yeah.
That I think that balance impressed me a lot. You see a lot of the action stuff in the trailers, like the Harley Quinn thing where all the flowers are, you know, the anti-realist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I really hope this doesn't take away from, you know, I hope this blends well. And it did. It just felt, yeah, like, you know, tonally consistent. It was pretty solid.
Right.
It's hard to knock it in that regard.
What was I going
to
say? What do you think of the Big Shark Boy?
Big Shark Boy. I think he was acted very well. it's always hard with like a full CGI character that's voiced in later. That's a really hard task to achieve. Visually, he was fucking amazing. Like his skin and
he looked good.
Like the animation was it was fantastic.
It very good.
But like he was adorable. I didn't expect him to be the, you know. The heart of the film. Like, I love that they showed him alone on his own and seeing he was just sat in the van going to sleep. You did get a sense that he was just kind of this lonely mutt of a muscle. Right. And it was kind of like, oh, I feel kind of the whole film with the fish tank, the innocence of him just playing with the other fish. And I was like,
right,
this is a massive shark. It's just who eats people. And I'm going, this is quite sweet, actually.
Yeah.
It's quite moving.
With that fish tank scene, again, it's that I have this thing with it where, like, well, not again. But another issue I have with this is, like, there's a lot of pausing. There's a lot of, like, we're going to have, like, a little moment now. And that was one of those scenes. And this is when we're in, like, we're pretty deep into the third act. Like, we're in.
It's a lot going on.
Yeah, like, the stakes are raising higher than they ever have, and we're gonna have this little detour with King Shark, and like, it's cute, you know, like, yeah, I get it, he's a big pudgy shark man, and he's yeah, it's cute, but like, I found a lot of the pacing of that very awkward, and this film does a lot of like
a lot to cut around, yeah,
a lot of time back and forth. You mentioned the Peacemaker scene where with Ratcatcher. And we get that scene, and then it cuts back to what was happening at the top of the building, and it just kind of felt like, I don't know, they had done that so many times that it started to feel a little, again, just formulaic and lazy to me, and like, I don't know if we needed to like see all of that scene and then cut away and see this whole other sequence and then jump right back into it. So then we can see Idris Elba jump in and go, oh, that's what happened. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think actually editing the two scenes backwards would have, like, I watched this on the second, I made a note where it was like, what if you played the other scene first where he falls all the way through the building and then you fall in on him with a gun on Ratcatcher and you go, yeah. What's happened here?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go back and you get the revelation.
Yeah, that might have worked a bit better.
I think, I honestly do. I was watching, I was like, I can't believe no one kind of thought that might, you know, at least try it and see how they felt about that. Because I think that would have been a much better way of doing it. If they were going to do it in that way. But it's the same old conversation about like intercutting is extremely difficult to get right. Because if you look at something like, I don't know if you've heard like the original story of like, how Star Wars, the original, like The New Hope, was saved in the edit room. But they cut like so much of that film out because they did like intercutting, and then they just were like, do you know what? We're just not going to have intercutting. We're just going to have it one after the other.
I got that. Cause it, I don't know. To me, it came across
that's
as
a really
like,
interesting story.
To me, it came across just as like, I can't be bothered to intercut these two scenes together and have it be a spiraling action bit. So we'll just have it be two separate sequences and we'll cut back and forth. That's how it kind of felt to me.
Yeah. And I think, at the same time, I don't think that it might have. I'm not sure how it would have worked if they intercut it, because there are a lot of pauses, like you said, where it's just like dialogue.
Clearly, like it's conceived from the start to be that way. I just kind of, but it just felt like you'd kind of done that trick before, and maybe like something different would have made it go by quicker. Especially because like we're already, like I said, we're in the final act. We've had like almost 2 hours of runtime at this point. It's like, okay, let's start wrapping up now. Let's get to it, because this is starting to drag a bit.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think I felt that they struggled a bit to end this film, you know. I could kind of feel that they struggled a bit, or knowing how to kind of, they set a lot up to you know, take it down the last minute, because you saw like the massive star man and you were like, oh well, they are fucked. And I felt that it was interesting that they chose for that to be the villain as well, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, that just seems a bit silly. But like, it was a, they went with the approach of like, this is what this thing does, and that's all the science you need to know. It's just what it does. I kind of respected that. You know, they did be like, it's like a, obviously they did some explanation about it with, and that's where obviously Peter Capaldi shined in his way of doing that. But it wasn't like some convoluted plan of like, oh, well, you know, this is the science. This is his weakness. You know, no. They literally just was like, right, well, I'm going to stab it in the eye and all the rats are going to go in and eat him. And I was just like, you know what, fair enough. I'm glad they went down that route. And
It is a bit like, again, the formula thing of these comic book movies. Like, we're going to have a big battle with a big monster and there's an army of, you know, of faceless bodies to mow down.
It was, it didn't feel new, but it felt still kind of, at the same time, a bit, it felt fine. I had no problem with it. I think that there are some things in the way it was shot where it made things predictable, which disappointed me. Like some things, like the, you know, when what's his name, Polka Dot Man gets killed because he gets flattened.
It cut away to
this wide shot.
Didn't like it.
Where he was like, no. He like, it was so, I was like, I know exactly what's going to happen. Because it cut away to this wide shot and it was just them looking at him from a distance. Where I was like, they weren't that far apart beforehand. And I was like, oh, he's going to get squished.
Yeah.
I just knew it was coming. And I was like, what? You didn't need to do that.
Because I'm like, a superhero. And then, cuts in his wide shot. He's like, oh, that's amazing. I wonder what's going to happen.
Exactly. That being said, though, I was impressed with, like how much fun they had visually with this film. Like, there are some shots in here that I remember of, like, oh, that was sick. Like the helmet one specifically, I remember.
Yeah.
When Peacemaker's helmet comes off and they have that fight and it's shown through the perspective of his helmet. Like, that was a great shot. There are a lot of like action trailer shots in this, you know, obviously in the rain.
I agree. I think he's done a good job to elevate a lot of it. You mentioned that like Harley Quinn scene where like we see all like the flowers and all that kind of stuff coming out.
It's like, it's supposed to be the blood, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, and that's like, that's a fairly basic action scene, all in all. I like some of the camera work and stuff, to be fair. But in general, it's pretty standard. You've seen that scene a million times in a film of the person fighting their way out.
I think the camera movement is impressive, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it is. And that's what I mean. Like, there's enough directorial flushes and stuff in there that it's elevated. It's like, okay, that was a good scene because you've added in that extra little peppering of flavor to it. which is what we talk about all the time, of like just going a little extra mile to make something stand out a bit more.
Mm. Yeah, completely. And it's also that perspective of, obviously, you know, Mr. Cameron Nerd over here does his research. They chose to shoot this whole film on Red, which isn't very common. It's a brand of camera, or a company who makes cameras, and I use Red cameras myself, but for a specific purpose. And they're very good, but like the most common is like Arri or Sony or something, and Red has a very kind of distinctive look to them. But the one cool thing about this film is that they used a lot of their new tech, which is very, very small. They were able to put like 8K sensors in these tiny little boxes. So it meant that, and I felt that they did this with this film, which was good, because obviously, you know, choice of camera has to be justified by the script and so forth. But a lot of the action was very kind of close up, and the camera went in places that I wasn't expecting it to. It felt like you were with them a lot of the time, like in the water and, you know, all this stuff. And a lot of this movie was practical, and the fact that it was meant that, well, they meant that they could do it, a lot of it practically, because a lot of the cameras were so small, you didn't have to CG the whole area. And I felt that there was a physicality to the way that this film was shot that I really appreciated.
Yeah, definitely.
Because on a high action film, you feel like it's exactly the same when I watch something like Mission Impossible, because of the way that they utilize the cameras and technology, they're able to do a lot of it practically. And you feel the difference when you watch it. You know, CG is ultimately extremely impressive, and still gives you a very solid feeling.
Yeah. There's a lot.
And sometimes it peppers over this stuff anyway to make it feel unrealistic. But yeah, like you said, the fluidity and like the choice of camera angles and movements, it opens on a really strong shot. You know, you think you're looking at a low angle of, I've forgotten his name again, but in the prison cell, and it twists round, and it's actually in a puddle, and you know, all this stuff's possible because they used that technology. I think it's worth like noting, as like, that's in my eyes, that's a really impressive thing that I got from this film.
Absolutely.
So well done to them and the God knows how many trainees and stuff and operators and all that for making that work. Because yeah, very impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What did you think of like the titles? Because they kind of like segment it with like,
oh, well, at the beginning?
No, they like segment it with like titles, you know.
Oh, the chapter marks.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually kind of liked it. The first time it was kind of like, this is interesting. I'm not sure how to feel about this. But it was like how they incorporated it within the it within the actual physicality of the shot, like whether it was the blood spelling out something, or it was like a the titles on like the lift buzzer. A lot of it I felt like I'd seen before.
You know, I feel like that move in itself is now a bit of a trope. They're like,
yeah,
oh, the title was incorporated into the part scene, into the mise-en-scene.
It wasn't mind-blowing. It was just kind of better than the alternative of that flashy thing that we've had before in the previous film, of it being like an overlay.
Yeah.
And not feeling necessarily part of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Just giving each bit titles anyway didn't seem super necessary to me anyway. Like, again, it felt like another way of them trying to kind of elevate all of it to make it feel a bit more important, or you know, stand outy, a bit more artistic or something. I don't know. Like Snyder Cut did a similar thing, right, where it was all segmented. I
don't know what it brings to the table.
I don't know what, yeah, I'm not crazy about it. We're not reading a book. You know,
or a comic for that matter.
Yeah, I don't need to be aware of segmentation of each part. I can clue in if I'm really interested. Style over substance thing, I guess. I don't know.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't think it needed chapter marks. But, like, I wasn't mad that they'd had that. You know, it was still kind of cool.
Yeah. It's just one of the things with this film where it's just like there's a lot of throwing stuff in to just like, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like to just make it.
That's exactly it, isn't it?
Make it a bit more kind of poppy and
alternative.
Yeah,
and that's what James Gunn kind of does. You know, he figured Guardians, like, he does that all the time.
I guess, but also Guardians are fucking Marvel movies. They're Disney products. Like, and this is my thing. Kind of just back to my general take, like, I do think this is a super soft, round edges movie. I think, like, James Gunn, like, people keep talking about how James Gunn had all his freedom and stuff. I think part of why he's had so much freedom with this project is just because he knows how to play this game. I think he knows, because he's worked with the mouse. He knows, you know, he knows how to, I think he understands what the limits are. And I don't think, I think he was comfortable in this environment because, like, he knows what he can and can't get away with.
That's very true. Yeah.
So what you get is, if you really look at it, is a pretty, you know, pretty just, I don't think it's, I like, my criticism aren't that it's a bad movie. I think it's perfectly good. But I don't know, there's been a lot of, like, high praise for this. There's been a lot of, like, this being a really exemplar piece of work for a comic book movie. I just kind of disagree. I just don't think it's really breaking the mold, I guess, is this what I mean? Like, it is super structured and formulaic, in my opinion. And clearly for some people, the R-rated thing is still, like, it's still a draw. It just doesn't really blow my mind. And also, I think I'm just also not crazy about James Gunn's thing. I think I'm realizing, I don't think I'm really, like, that into his whole vibe. Which is just which is purely just subjective, I understand. But, like, I think he is quite, because he's quite geeky, isn't he? And I don't know.
Well, for me, I go into a James Gunn movie, right, and. I go into a James Gunn movie and I expect to just have visual fun. I don't go in expecting, like, a narrative that isn't necessarily, like, heart-wrenching or anything. I think some of his pieces are a lot stronger in that regard. I still think the original Guardians was, like, a better film. It was, like, a blank canvas completely. And the Suicide Squad as, like, a concept is very difficult to navigate. I was always asking myself, how would I do this differently? Or how would I... And I don't fucking know. You know, like, I'm sure I could ramble on about it forever. We could probably sit here and create some sort of construct that would work for us. But it's a very hard challenge to do this film.
No, of course.
But I go in and I expect, like, some visual fun. And I got visual fun. There was attempts is, you know... seems harsh, but it is my opinion. You know, there were attempts to kind of go places emotionally that didn't really land. A lot of the thing is, I find with a lot of James Gunn films is, like, it still has that kind of, sometimes in the dialogue you have that kind of cringy American humor, where it's kind of like, oh, you could suck a big bag of dicks, and it's like, this is really just not funny.
No.
And then you have, like, but the problem is that you then have, like, visual gags that I'm like, oh, that was really clever. That was quite funny. But it seems that, like, dialogue is something that he's continually working with to find that balance.
Yeah, he's just got a particular kind of tone of voice that I find a little cringe. Yeah. I don't know what it is exactly. I think there's something just a little cringe about it. And I think comparing this to Guardians, I don't think I think Guardians of the Galaxy, like, is a bit more tight. And, like, you know, I'm not interested in him just doing Guardians over and over again. And even this feels like him just kind of doing Guardians again, like, and what we've said about the Suicide Squad in general as a concept, or the direction they seem to want to take it. Obviously, this one is way more trying to be Guardians than the first one, but I don't know.
Edgy teen energy that, like, he's obviously very clever. But at the same time, it's your tone is very much, like, established in everything you do, and you know, his tone doesn't always work for me. But, you know, because I'm trying to think of, like, other things that he's done other than, you know, Guardians.
He's done, like, you seen Sliver?
No.
Super? I think that's what it's called. So I'm guessing you've very, I think that's pretty much it. So you've already seen Guardians.
You know, like, he, I think he found exactly where he lands with Guardians. And that's fine.
Yeah, and I totally, like, you clearly know. It's what he's good at. I just think, like, yeah. You know, you don't need to do it again. You don't need to keep doing it. I don't know. His whole thing is like, yeah.
No, I completely agree.
Like, oh, we're going to be irreverent, but then I'm going to sneak in, like, emotional beats and stuff. And, like, I'm down with that as an idea conceptually and stuff. I just think, like, you kind of did it with Guardians. I don't know if, like, it's working. Like, I can see, like, my thing with this is, like, I can see you trying to do it. I can see you trying to, like, set up these emotional beats and to make me care and stuff. And, oh, the big shark man, isn't he kind of cute? Don't you kind of like him a bit? Like, yeah, I see what you're doing, James. I don't know. And, yeah, and the human thing, like, oh, I need a whole beach of dicks. It's like, oh, that's great. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. And... I think that's also why I think he might be able to possibly do better in a series format, because obviously it's been announced that Peacemaker's actually getting his own series. Did you know this?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I hope that emotionally and for, you know, he's able to bring a lot more in a series format. I'm looking forward to that, but you are right, you know, I go in expecting something very specific, and it delivered on that for me, and it was a lot of fun, and I've seen it twice, so I do like it, but it's not like, it's not groundbreaking. It's just like a very safe, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's changed like DC films, or I'm like, no, this is what I expect from DC, not, you know, this isn't an exceptional DC film. I think this is what I expect from a DC film.
It's probably one of the better newer age ones.
But, like, you know, DC have an ability to make a certain type of film, and they have, like, the opportunity where they've bought, like, Dark Label, whatever it is called, where they're very free and open with their. They don't have the
what are you on about?
The shackles that Disney do with their characters as such. They don't have the limitations.
Oh, right.
So,
I mean, yeah, so, they don't have that, like, brand thing, which I do like about.
They can do whatever they want with superhero characters, so that's great. So I expect to see something like along the lines of this, which is, you know,
yeah.
But the problem being is that we haven't been getting that. We've just been getting really shit films that don't really work and aren't, you know. The elements don't tie together well.
Well,
so I don't think it's groundbreaking.
Well, no, I just think we're in like a. Yeah. I do think we're in a new age of, we're in like a bit of a DC renaissance right now. I think they're putting out some good stuff.
Definitely. It's made me excited for DC again. You know, like obviously we've spoken about Joker and stuff, but even that was like refreshing at the time.
For sure.
Where I was like, oh, you know, like a good DC film. This is solid.
A different take on
and this was solid.
Different take on a comic
and I was
movie.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
And they are in a position where they can be the king of different takes. They could be the what if of superhero films.
Right.
And I want them to run with it. So yeah. Anyway, that's my opinion on DC. but yeah, I'm happy that the Suicide Squad reigned over its superior. I said that wrong, didn't I?
What do you mean?
I'm happy that... No, I don't know. I think I've said that wrong. Scratch that. What I mean is, I think that... I'm glad that this film is better than the original.
I mean, that's... I don't think that was a much of a challenge.
That is also true.
Or surprising. You know,
yeah. I guess, like, what are your thoughts on, like, obviously, they are doing a series of Peacemaker. Did you like him enough to see a series? Do you feel it's justified?
I don't know.
Yeah. They said that he wrote like the entire season in like it's you know the first lockdown,
right?
Out of complete boredom,
right?
Which is always that, you know, that just doesn't sound for me. That just doesn't sound good. It sounds like it was just kind of like a second half-ass thing. But I hope they do it. I hope they have fun with it and they do it well. You know,
I'm sure it'll be like fine. I don't know. I'm not. I mean, I probably won't ever see it because it'll be a HBO Max thing, right? But
oh yeah, is that even available in the UK?
Not at the moment. So how did? Yeah, no, it's not.
When is that becoming available? Because obviously it's like a huge.
I don't know.
I'll have a look.
It doesn't matter.
No, it really yeah, doesn't.
No. let's just stop the show at Google.
Oh, so because they have an exclusive deal with Sky, HBO Max is still officially off the table for UK subscribers. Huh. So it's because they're tied in with Sky.
Right.
Warner Brothers, I think.
Yeah.
So they literally legally can't launch it yet.
Oh, I see.
So I think it would be available through Sky unless the contract.
Probably, yeah. I mean, that's how like yeah, and we got Snyder Cut.
Ah, yes, of course, yeah. Fucking hell. Anyway. Oh God, I'm dying. Any last thoughts,
think,
Alex?
Yeah, I think we're both kind of steam right now. My final thoughts are, you know, it is fun. It's a lot of, it's good. I think if you like James Gunn's other work and his tone in general, you're going to love it. I get why people are loving on this. I don't want to be like down on it. Nor do I actually even, would I even say it's like bad or anything. I just think maybe it's a superior 50. I don't know what it is. I think I'm not particularly into the tone of it. To be honest.
Fair. Yeah.
I think it is pretty round on the edges. I think the formula was just really rubbing me weird this time. Yeah, good, but I don't think it is like groundbreaking. I think it's like probably like better than your average Marvel movie, I guess. But I don't know. Didn't really ring much of a strike much of a chord with me. I don't know. But I'd check it out. You know, if you want to watch a fun movie on the weekend, I'd definitely go watch it. I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah. Sorry, I was going to give it a 7. I think I did enjoy this. I had a lot of fun with this, and I was expecting a lot of fun. It's maybe a 6.5, 7. But I will watch it again, I think, when it comes out on streaming. Because it is an easy watch movie, and I did enjoy it, and I kind of, you know, fell in love with the characters a bit. I was when they have their final there's a, you know, obviously where they start running towards Starro at the end towards the city,
right?
And they're all kind of like awkwardly trying to get to him. I was kind of, I had a moment of like, I actually really like all these characters. I hope they're okay.
Yeah, it works. It does work, to be fair.
You know, and it's kind of it's very difficult to. It was a very difficult challenge, and I think that they did a good job. But yeah, I'd say 7. I did enjoy it, and it definitely was better than the original. Thank God. I'm not quite sure what I would have done if I went to see this and it was worse than the original. That would have been very bad.
That would have been impressive, to be fair.
It would be very impressive. but I think the only way that's possibly doable is if James Dunn, you know, did it with his eye, like over Zoom, or did it with his eyes closed or something like that.
Film opens and it's just like white. Which is white screen for 2 hours. Don't have credits.
Just the way I wanted it. But yeah, so that was 2021's version of the Suicide Squad. I can't wait for 2025's The Suicide Squad 2. Can you wait for that?
I can't wait, Adam.
Three, even.
I can't wait for more comic book movies until I die.
and then when we're in our 50s, they'll reboot it again with like James Gunn's son.
Oh, okay.
I can't wait to be a prophet.
Young Suicide Squad?
That's actually going to happen. The Young Suicide Squad, of course.
Baby Suicide Squad? Think of the marketable plushies you could make with that. Baby Joker? Here's an idea, folks. Here's an idea. What about Baby Joker? I'm just saying. There's a lot of money.
Boss Baby worked.
That's what I'm saying.
So, you know, that is true.
Baby Groot.
DC, our lines are open.
Baby Joker.
You heard it here first. Copyright. Final Draft Podcast. Sorry, folks. I think that's all we have time for you today. Because my head feels like it's... I've got like one of the Suicide Squad bombs in the back of my head and it's about to blow up because I'm very hot right now and not feeling very well. But it's been wonderful having you here, as always.
Yeah.
Alex, it's time for the plug, if you can survive.
Thanks for listening. Follow us at Final Draft Show on Twitter, Final Draft Pod on Instagram, on Facebook at Final Draft Podcast. You can email us at finaldraftpodcast@gmail.com. Keep up to date with the show. Send in viewer suggestions. There's a link to the Discord there. Join the Discord. You can talk to us. What else can you do? If you love the show, leave us a 5-star rating and consider going to patreon.com/thefinaldraft. £5 a month will get you access to the writer's room. You get one monthly bonus episode where we just talk about anything and everything.
Wonderful.
Next episode is double feature. What I can't remember what our films are, Kingsman and Pink Flamingos.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully we won't be dying by then. Sorry, the episodes will be going up a little wonky as well. Schedules have just been a bit all over the shop. I'm sorry.
It's a very hard time. We're feeling a bit under the weather. But we've got some exciting things coming. So keep an eye out.
Keep an eye out, right. Take care, guys. See you later.
Join the Discord. Come say hello.
Subscribe to Patreon. Bye.
Bye.